It has to have universal appeal. It has to be able to be understandable for kids and students of all ages, and it has to be interesting at the same time. It can't be so basic that grown-ups are not going to like it. As great as it sounds, the probably atomic force microscopy is probably not that understandable to second graders. So, you know. So we selected, or I didn't select, they selected scanning electron microscopy as the ideal format, because and the original Bug Scope team members, they wrote an NSF grant, and then they got the NSF grant, and they were able to buy the scope. So Bug Scope today, the site has recently undergone a major reconstruction. We redid the whole thing, and the format's been reintegrated, and it's really great, so I'll show you those. The participation procedure, there's an application process, which is kind of like a technical thing, but that everyone gets accepted. It's not like hard. then we have technical support issues with the various outreach with our various participants. Then we prep the specimen, and then we have the session, and then there's a feedback procedure. So who is eligible for Bug Scope? Everyone is eligible for Bug Scope. any educational context is from, we've had preschoolers, and we've had all the way up to pre-service teachers, the graduate classes. We even do community outreach events. And so pretty much any educational context is eligible to participate in our project. So I don't want to show the application page, but this is how you, there's a link on the site that says sign up to participate, and you just click on that, and it's self-explanatory. Specimen preparation. So what we do, either the teachers or the participants can send us insects in the mail. We ask that they're dead before they send them to us. It's great to open up a container and there's a cricket and a bunch of, like, wing parts. And you're like, wonder what was in there before. Did you get a cockroach? No, we didn't get your cockroach. We got one very full cricket. Anyway, so either they can provide them to us, or we have a stock that I got from raiding all the entomology collections that we can use as backup. So that's, and so we prep the stub, we put them onto a standard, microscopy stub, coat them with gold palladium, and then we put them in the scope, and the rest is up to them. So the session interface, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because hopefully this will not switch to the next slide. Okay, good. Maybe. Okay, anyway, so this is the session interface. In the middle of the screen, okay, there's two critical components. There's the viewing and the driving, and the navigation tools are located at the far side of the screen under navigation. And there's a function to magnify or to decrease in magnification. You can drive, you can focus the scope, and then you can adjust image kind of switches it a little bit, and then it's visualized on the screen. There's also the chat function. That's the second critical component, and perhaps it's the most critical component. The great thing about it, the rapport that we have, the bug ops that we have, is really great. The students are able to ask questions of what they see. It's completely different than a lot of different models where an expert will come to a classroom and tell all the kids what they want them to hear. This is the backwards version of that. The kids are asking us what they want to know. And so it's like science on demand, and like NSF loves this stuff, you know. And it's great, they should love it, because it's good. Anyway, so it's like, and at the same time, there's this even footing, because they can't see us, and they don't see grown-ups, and they don't see scientists. They just see names on the screen. And so you get these great questions, and the type of questions we get, of course we get, what does that hair do? They also want to know, how old is this insect? How old is the oldest insect? What's the biggest insect? What's the smallest insect? And then sometimes they ask really strange questions, like, one time somebody asked me if insects have sexually transmitted diseases, and I'm going, is this appropriate? So it's great as an entomologist because you're answering these questions that you never knew that you needed to know. So it's great. And at the same time, so speaking of questions, as the kids ask a question, you can double-click on a question, and then it pops up over here. You answer it, and then it pops up in a list, and they can access all those questions later. So, the member page, now once the session is over, all of the images that were captured by the session are in this format, are in this member page, and it stays in our database forever. They can look at their application, they can look at the session transcript, which I'll show in a little bit, they can submit feedback, and they have all of their presets. We actually go through, because, like, as you were talking about, it's very easy to get lost on the stub, and you don't know where you are, and you're on the edge, and so, especially for inexperienced drivers, they can double-click on a preset, and it brings them to something cool instantly. So they have all their presets saved, and it also shows a map of where they are. It shows them a map of close sessions that were held by schools or that were close by. So I was talking about the chat transcript. So the chat, for privacy issues, we get rid of all the student names and we get rid of everyone's names. And then the questions are linked with the image. So that's the image, and there's the questions that the people asked. And so they can look at what they learned and see what they learned, if they don't already know. So we have done 300 sessions since 1999. We've cataloged almost 57,000 images. We've had participants from 44 U.S. states, from 6 countries, and we've been able to interact with 9,000 students. And we've had media coverage from National Public Radio, New York Times, L.A. Times, the Irish Times, and the Chicago Times. And we're getting more press all the time. So here's the Google map of all the places in the U.S., and I don't know if this is actually current. This may have been current as of October. So we're adding places all the time. So here's from Nevada. Come on. We're adding some bug scope sessions. So what's in it for entomologists? Why should we care? This is great. Outreach is great, right? But why do you care? Well, first of all, there's obviously educational reasons. You can use this for your entomology classes, use it for insect physiology, use it for anything that you want. Also, as I mentioned, the community outreach events. We do it at our Insect Fear Film Festival every year, and you could do it at your bug zoo or bug fest or whatever you have in every spring to bring the kids in. So, second, the bug scope model could be a remote access scanning electron microscopy could be used in a collaborative sense. You could use it for another machine. You could apply the same software, the same idea to with collaborators from the developing world or from with field people that are out in the field. You send the insect, we put it in the scope, they are able to drive, and that could be applied. That could be applied to your or implemented in your machine. So this is not, these are not field researchers. I couldn't find a picture of field research. I mean, yeah, I have some, but anyway, that doesn't matter. Okay, so there's also maybe the last and the coolest thing for maybe you guys is that we have a, like I said, we have this database of almost 57,000 images. And we have a search function. You go to the homepage and you go to look around. And this search function is brand new. And so there's a little few kinks to be worked out. But you can enter what you want to see. Okay, I would like to look at Ocelli. And it brings up all the Ocelli. Now, this is a sort of a different thing. It brings up all the pictures of all the Ocelli that we've ever seen in 10 years. And you can go through and look at Ocelli of mosquitoes and look at this and that. Now, like I said, it just came out. And there wasn't always an entomologist affiliated with this project, and so the taxonomy is that. But if it's your tax and you care, you'll be able to, and you can send us feedback, and it's not like we won't change it. We know it's wrong. But the great thing about all these images, you can look at them, and then you can use them, as long as it's for educational use, you can use it. It's free. And there's tons of stuff, SEM stuff, great, good pictures. And so, you can, and in the future, you're going to be able to search by common name, by family name, by all these different, under the taxonomy, you'll be able to search by taxonomy, by taxon name. And, right, so, like I said, it's free. It's free. So, join us. You can't really have a great idea, a good idea of what a bug scope session is like until you actually participate in a bug scope session. And fortunately, we have some coming up. There's one on December the 13th at 4:30 p.m. Central. And just if you just go to our webpage, which I'll give you the URL when I end, just join us, join in, log in as a guest, and just see how it goes. So, yeah. And so I have to thank two people, Umesh and Ben, for giving me all these, some of the slides. And these are our funding sources. And there's that URL. And if you have any questions about this, if you're interested in implementing this in your own machine, email us. But don't say anything bad about me because I get this email too, so I'll know. And with that, if anybody would like some more information, I have these trifold, I have a few trifold shiny glossy things that I'd be happy to give you if you're interested. So see me after the discussion. And with that, I'm done.
Before I say anything else, I need to apologize. According to the program, my co-author, Jane O'Donnell, was Jane D. O'Donnell, which is wrong because I sent it the wrong.
During the next 15 minutes or so, I'll be talking about what I'm referring to as sticky trap predation. And I probably have to freely admit to it, my favorite groups of true bugs, which is assassin bugs. You're probably all aware that there are about 6,600 species of Radovidae out there, which is, well, obviously quite a lot. And it's kind of a dogma in insect world that really diverse groups are very often phytophagous, probably owing to co-evolution with higher land plants. And this is also true to a certain degree in true bugs, as war. You all know, for example, the other big groups that are at least partly plant feeding are Meridae or plant bugs or Lyrioids, for example. And so one of the things that I would really like to, well, maybe not be able to explain at some point, but understand a little bit better is how a predaceous group of insects could become as diverse as Radovidae are today. If you think of a general Radovidae, you probably envision this Radovidae either hunting on vegetation or running around on the ground and being generally pretty unspecialized and just feeding on whatever it can get a grip on, basically. But there are certain groups that are pretty clearly specialized on certain prey organisms, and also groups that have evolved really, I think, really cool ways of getting a hold of this prey. If you think, for example, of the Amazini, there's increasing evidence there's quite a number of species actually living in spider webs. And if you look at their pretarsus, they're kind of really specialized. Other Radovidae pretarsus don't look like that. And knowing that a really large proportion of